Apologies to those of you up in the gods, because I'm going to be talking about the Wilson window, so I hope you can follow it. The Wilson window is the central point of focus in this church. The window was commissioned following a fire in the church in 1916, and it was installed in 1918. I actually read online that the artist child who worked on the window enjoyed a wage of £2 a week. The then minister, Saville Hicks, had a central role in the design of the window. It is a visual representation of the faith that inspired the community. The teaching of Jesus, as opposed to the teachings about Jesus, is central. Immediately to the right of that image of Jesus is the little panel entitled Truth. The lower section depicts the image of Martin Luther nailing his 95 theses to the door of Wittenberg Cathedral, the public act that sparked the Reformation. The taller panel above is a representation of Truth. At its inauguration, Saville Hicks said of this upper panel, "Truth, symbol of intellectual honesty, integrity in action, and veracity of speech. She is clad in armor from head to heel, for Truth has ever had to fight her way forward to the grim ranks of opposition, persecution, and cruelty. She stands on a rocky pathways which she has forced through briars and thistles of error and neglect." Hicks goes on to point out that the artist deliberately set Truth's eyes so that no matter from which point the panel is viewed from, the eyes of Truth look directly at the viewer. As Mr. Hicks pointed out, there is no escaping from Truth. Despite the thorns, the thistles, and Truth's need to wear armor, Truth's face is kindly, it's serene, and it is peaceful. And I think that's the only way we make progress or find peace, is to be truthful. This was how Saville Hicks imagined Truth more than 100 years ago. Notice that he mentioned honesty, integrity in action, and veracity of speech. He did not mention truths about God or aspects of the divine or what we might call religious truths. He was wise enough to know that there is no one definition of truth or God's truth. In 1517, Martin Luther was protesting at the many errors he saw within the Roman Church. Now, he wasn't the first person to call for reform of the Church. In the 14th century in England, John Wycliffe wrote that papal claims of temporal power had no foundation in scriptures, and that the Bible should be the standard of Christian belief and practice. Wycliffe was very lucky he died in his bed, but following his death he was declared to be a heretic, and as punishment his bones were dug up and burned. But a century later, Hans Jus, a theologian living in Bohemia, voiced his support for Wycliffe's call for reform. The Council of Constance condemned Hus as a heretic, and despite having given him assurances of his safety, he was burned at the stake in July 1415 in Germany. So we see that Luther's act was very dangerous. Later, when called to recant or face excommunication, Luther replied with, "I will never make any recantation, since it is neither safe nor honest to act contrary to conscience. Here I stand, I cannot do otherwise, so help me God." Luther had found his truth in scripture. particularly in the writings of St. Paul. Luther's insight came to him after many years of studying those scriptures. But Luther lived before the Enlightenment. It is unlikely that he had contact with scriptures of our other faiths. It was only at the Enlightenment, with the academic study of the Bible, that the flaws and dangers associated with taking a literal historic approach to the Bible were revealed. If Luther had lived in later times and had access to that knowledge of the caveats associated with the Bible, and if he had knowledge of other faith traditions, I wonder, would he have had the same certainty about his truth? Would Luther be willing to examine other beliefs? Would he have accepted the truths found outside the Bible, and indeed outside of religion altogether? A Unitarian minister called Ralph Waldo Emerson served in Boston, and he had many questions about the Calvinist-inspired faith he was ordained into and the place of the Bible within that faith. He was about 30 when he resigned his ministry, and in fact, Emerson never attended any church again. But he was a child of the Enlightenment, and he tried to reconcile the emerging differences between the new scientific knowledge and religion. Emerson founded a discussion group where members debated every assumption society lived by. And the discussion went beyond Christian scriptures, because Emerson had access to translations of Hindu scripture. He was influenced by the romantic poetry of Wordsworth and Coleridge. He was very familiar with the philosophical arguments of his day, arguments about whether human experiences is limited to what we can hear, see, touch, and smell, or whether there is another, we would call it a spiritual element, to human beings. And not only did the group meet and discuss, various members of the group went beyond discussion. They certainly attempted to live by the ideals they discussed. They were active in the anti-slavery movement. They opened a school where children of color were welcomed. They appointed an African American as a headmistress of the school. They bought a farm where they lived a vegan lifestyle. Famously, Henry David Thoreau went to live in a cabin in Walden Pond. And yes, many of their ideas were crashing failures, but they were learning experiences. No one would send their children to the school with an African American headmistress. The farm, the wife of Bronson Alcott said of the farm, the only people who worked on the farm were the women and the children. They were crashing failures, but they learned from them. They learned through experience, not through theory or someone else telling them. Emerson is best known as an essayist, and the ideas about religion he expressed. Now, he never produced a rounded theory of religion. Rather, he gave out ideas for people to think about. And these ideas still speak to us, and I think they particularly resonate with Unitarians. Now, as a writer, Emerson is of his time. His sentences are terribly long. It's difficult to read. If I were to keep you and talk about all Emerson wrote in his lifetime, we would never leave this church. But I just want to share a few of his ideas and his quotations about them. He said, human nature is at its core good. Humanity is not in need of redemption by the sacrificial death of Jesus or anyone else. That is something that sings with Unitarians. But Emerson put it beautifully. He said, man is a God in ruins. And I think that really sums up our human nature. We are capable of the most incredible generosity, caring, and love, and equally able to do the most dreadful deeds. And we never know how we're going to do it until we're in this, which we're going to go until we're in that situation. Man is a God in ruins, to me, sums up the human condition. Emerson said that when Jesus called himself God's Son, Jesus did not make that claim exclusively of himself. We're all children of God. There is divinity within every person. Because we all have divinity within us, there's no need for priests or religious rites. And in fact, Emerson believed that very often the priests were barriers to religious questing, that they just got hung up on theories and didn't encourage people to find their spiritual path. Because every individual has the capacity and the duty to find their God-given truth. And religious truths can't be set in stone, ever. They must change and grow in the light of new knowledge and experience. Elaine Harris did a lovely service on how she might, if she was redesigning this window, do it differently. And maybe Savile Hicks would say that's a great idea, but you can't set them in stone. Emerson remarked about this. He said, a foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds, adored by statesmen and philosophers and divines. We must always be guided by the light of new discoveries and our personal experience. Emerson said, truth is not exclusive prerogative of any one particular religion. Those are just a very few of Emerson's thoughts on religion. And I see in them reflections of many other faiths. The essential goodness of humans is part of the Hindu and Buddhist tradition. Hinduism sees God in every person. That's how they greet one another with Namaste. I greet the God in you. The Buddha taught that humanity was not evil. We just needed to wake up. Most of us are asleep. And the Buddha also said to his followers, don't believe anything out of respect for me. Believe because you know something to be true, because you have tested it for yourself. Our Buddha was once asked which religion is the best one, and his response was, the one that works for you. Emerson painted possible paths to a life that is well lived. And his brushstrokes were broad, so broad that some of his neighbours referred to him as Mad Dog Emerson and would cross the road to avoid him. And his ideas are appealing because they sound easy, like all religious ideas, but they're difficult to actually live. How many of us invest time and energy seeking out and testing our versions of religious truths that we hold? I'm sure many of you heard the comment about Unitarianism that it's easy to believe in nothing. But it's not good enough to simply think or believe just anything. Like Emerson said, we need to find our truth through reading, study, discussion, examining accepted assumptions of our time, examining and trying out alternative possibilities, and most importantly, to think and contemplate the mysteries of life. We have a duty to explore and discover and not allow ourselves to become stuck in a rut, but to allow ourselves to be changed by what we find to be truth. When we know the truth of something, it's very difficult not to follow that truth. If we don't know it from experience, it's easy to ignore it. Keep in mind that what you may believe from habit just may be outdated, untrue, or incomplete. When we work to find our perspective on truth, we can be assured that we are on the correct path if this new truth makes us more compassionate. That's the litmus test for whether you are on the right track. Does it make you more compassionate? If our truth makes us more loving, it will bring us to a place of joyful happiness, which sages of all faiths have taught us. Some call this enlightenment. Some called it unity with God. Jesus called it the kingdom of God. Amen.